For the first time in 3 years, the Raw after WrestleMania was live in front of actual fans. But it was a very tame crowd in Dallas. They've been very loud all weekend. WrestleMania invaded Dallas all week, all weekend. This was the final show of a very busy, very hectic week. I'm sure a lot of those people have been going to all the events. We have seen some Raws over the years. The night after WrestleMania were the crowd, and I've been part of a lot of those crowds. Those are always some of the most fun shows to be part of. And this just felt like any other Monday Night Raw that you would watch any other week. A very tame crowd that didn't really react to a whole lot. Nothing like the WrestleMania after crowds of the past, but it's not as if WWE gave these people a whole lot to get excited about here tonight. So I can't even really blame the fans all that much. I thought this was a very lackluster episode of Monday Night Raw coming off of WrestleMania, but we are here tonight doing a rare Raw review live here on the channel. This is my fifth straight day, I believe, fifth or sixth, of live streaming. I am very tired, but we are going to go through this show. Roman Reigns. All day long, people have been talking about Roman Reigns, who, of course, won the championship last night at WrestleMania. He unified the two titles together. So, at least for a while, we're going to have a unified champion, and that's good, because the title should be unified. In fact, I could think of a few other titles in this company that should be unified as well. I could think of a few titles that should be completely discarded in this company. But that's another issue. Roman Reigns is the unified WWE Universal Champion. All day long, people talking about the possibility that he was hurt in his match last night with Brock Lesnar. Perhaps that is why the match at WrestleMania came off as very sudden with that finish, the way it ended, and it was very lackluster. It was a bad match. It was a very lame, disappointing match last night. Even if Roman Reigns was not legitimately injured, and there was going to be a few more minutes of what we got, it was a lame, disappointing way to end WrestleMania 38. But Roman was out there tonight looking just fine. He didn't look any worse for wear. He didn't have his arm in a sling. From what we could tell, there was no wrap around him, wrap around his shoulder, we couldn't see the shoulder, but, wrap around the arm or anything like that. I didn't see any reputable websites talking about Roman Reigns being hurt or Roman Reigns going for some kind of an evaluation. Although I will say, based on the way this show ended tonight, it does make me wonder if maybe they're waiting for some MRI results to come back. But I'm going to go ahead and take a guess that it was all just complete bullshit. Roman Reigns is just fine. And if he did get hurt last night, clearly it wasn't anything serious because he was out there looking none the worse for wear with the bloodline at the end of the night. They saved his segment for the very end of the show, which can only mean you would think one of two things. Either Brock Lesnar is going to attack the bloodline, although I had seen that Brock Lesnar apparently flew home, so I knew he wasn't there. Or they were going to begin Roman's next program. They were going to give us an indication of who would be challenging next for the WWE Championship. We didn't get that. We literally had the bloodline come out at the end of the show. Paul Heyman, of course, was singing Roman Reigns' praises. Roman Reigns said a few words, and then he said that they'll tell us on SmackDown Friday night what the next step is for the bloodline, what their next plans are. They'll let us in on that on Friday night. And then he told the entire crowd to acknowledge him, and that is how they went off the air. Probably one of the lamest endings to a Raw after WrestleMania that I have ever seen. So that was a very bizarre way to close the show. We did get Cody Rhodes speaking his first words, putting a live mic in his hand on Raw for the first time in at least 6 years. That was the highlight of the show. It was all downhill after that, and they opened the show with that. We had the NXT Championship on the line. Yes. The NXT Championship was defended here tonight on Monday Night Raw. They wanted to get the biggest possible audience. Get those eyes on Bron Breakker. Get those eyes on his big championship win. Dolph Ziggler retained the title over Bron Breakker Saturday at Stand and Deliver, which was completely overshadowed by WrestleMania. Absolutely nobody except me and the people who actually watched it and then reviewed it, nobody else was talking about that show on Saturday because it was totally overshadowed by WrestleMania. That's what happens when you run that show on the same day as WrestleMania, which I thought was a dumb idea to begin with. I still think it was a dumb idea. They should have done it a few days earlier. So nobody was talking about it. So they had Dolph Ziggler go over on Saturday just to get him to Monday so that he could drop the championship to Bron Breakker. And while I understand the rationale behind that, wanting to get more eyeballs on the match, the trade-off is that the people who came to Raw tonight did not pay to see the NXT stars wrestle each other. They did not pay to see the NXT titles defended. They did not pay to come to see an NXT show. Maybe if there was an NXT call-up, which we've had before, we didn't even have that tonight. So they were very quiet for the entire match, until the finish. At least they gave him a nice reaction when he won. But Bron Breakker is once again the NXT champion. We had MVP turning his back on Bobby Lashley. But the bigger story was that tonight was the arrival of Veer. Yes, indeed, this has been built up now for so long. Many, many months. Months, not even weeks, months. Months and months and months. This man has been coming. He's been coming and coming and coming. And finally, tonight, he came. And I am talking about Veer. Yes, there he is. I have come, says Veer. Veer came all over Monday Night Raw tonight. People didn't really seem to care all that much. That seems to be a recurring theme of the show tonight. But finally, Veer has gotten that release. Well, not the WWE release, but he's gotten a release that he's been waiting for so long for. That may have been the biggest story of the entire night. But we didn't get any new faces from NXT. We did get Veer. We did get Elias's younger brother. That's who we got on this show. So do me a favor, like, subscribe. Super chats are open as they come in. You will see them on your screen. I will be reading all of your messages. And again, I do want to thank you for sticking with me through this entire week. Ever since Dynamite on Wednesday night, we've been covering all the key events, or as many as I could, including two nights of WrestleMania back-to-back. Last night was even later than the night before. We went almost 3 hours last night. It's almost 3 o'clock in the morning, but you guys stuck with me, and hopefully you have enjoyed all of the coverage here. Again, I don't usually go live after Raw on Monday nights, but I felt, well, it's the Raw after Mania, and this is a pretty enjoyable WrestleMania this year. So I had kind of high hopes, or high-ish hopes, that maybe we would get an exciting show tonight, and boy, I feel like a fucking moron now. But those are the risks that you take sometimes, right? When it comes to Monday Night Raw, you try to have a positive outlook on things, and, well, doesn't always work out that way. But we opened with the high point of the show. Cody Rhodes, the American Nightmare. Cody Rhodes gets his full American Nightmare entrance yet again, which is still very surreal. This is only the second time we've seen it now, but it is still very surreal to see him out there in the whole AEW getup and the music and everything. It'll take a little bit of time to adjust and look at it now as a WWE entrance and not an AEW entrance. But what was funny is, also as part of his entrance, they do the slow raise from the stage where he rises from the ground. And it looks like it got stuck. So all you saw, he came up and all you saw was his head. He looked like a fucking groundhog sticking his head up from the ground on February 2nd. And then after a few seconds, it finally continued and he began to rise again. And he kind of laughed a little bit. You can see he kind of smirked a little bit when it happened. I wonder what he would have done if it would have just been stuck and they couldn't get him up. Would he have to climb out of the hole? It's only his second night back on television in the company. This guy's going to have to crawl out of a hole. But he was all right. The crowd, though, this is the first sign that this is going to be a very subdued crowd. The crowd, they showed everybody, and of course these days everybody is holding up their cell phones. I got to tell you, I mean, the cell phones are so ubiquitous now. Everyone has one. It's very easy to pull out your phone and take a picture and shoot video, and it's a very convenient tool to have. But I do miss the days where not everybody had their fucking smartphones. And, you know, people would come out like a WrestleMania, and all the flash bulbs would go off. You don't have that anymore. It just made for a bigger moment. But, like, in terms of a show like this, somebody comes out and that's all you see. Everyone's just standing there and they're looking through their, instead of like watching the moment, and I'm as guilty of this as anybody, but instead of actually watching the moment and being in the moment, you're looking through a device, worried about the shot, worried about, oh, did I get it just right? Like all these amateur photographers out there. And it just struck me when they got that crowd shot, nobody was really reacting. Nobody was jumping up and down. They're just standing there with their phones like this. So it was kind of a weird reaction when Cody came out. I didn't know if it was a Cody thing. I mean, as the show went on, I realized it had nothing to do with Cody. It's just the way the crowd was tonight. But once he got in the ring, though, he did get a nice reaction. He got chance of Cody. And then he took the mic. And Cody said, Loop Cannon says, old man Solomonster. Well, let me tell you something, all you little whippersnappers, you little bastards. Back in my day, so Cody has the mic, and he says, so, what do you guys want to talk about? I thought for sure the crowd was going to start an AEW chant, but they didn't. Or if they did, it wasn't very audible. He said it's been 47 days since news leaked that he had become a free agent. He said people think it was a hard decision for him to come back, but it really wasn't. And he mentioned that he signed a multi-year deal with World Wrestling Entertainment, which got chance of You Deserve It. He threw it to the Titantron, and up on the big screen, they put a picture up of Dusty Rhodes at Madison Square Garden in 1977, holding the what was then the WWWF belt. And he said, yeah, he was a legend, because somebody in the crowd says, oh, he's a legend. And Cody says, yep, he's a legend, he's the son of a plumber, and all that stuff. He says, but to me, he was my hero. And then he got very emotional. Anytime Cody talks about Dusty, he gets very emotional. I mean, you could tell. Anybody who loses their father, it's a very traumatic thing for most people. But it really affected him, even after all these years. I think Dusty passed away in 2015. I believe it was 2015. Actually, 2015 was the same year my father passed away. But I want to say that was the year Dusty passed away. And anytime Cody talks about him, he gets very glassy-eyed and his voice cracks and he gets very emotional. So you know that that's as real can be when he's talking about Dusty. But he mentioned that was that title that he was holding in that picture. He goes, that was the same championship that men like Hulk Hogan held. And as soon as he said Hulk Hogan's name, the boos rained down upon Hogan. And then he mentioned also The Undertaker, he got cheers. Shawn Michaels, he got cheers. He mentioned even Triple H, he said. And Triple H got cheers. Hogan was the only one who got fucking booed out of the building when he mentioned his name. So he said that photo was on his father's mantle until his final day on this earth. And he said, I didn't know. Yeah, he said when he was a young boy, and he saw that photo for the first time, he said to Dusty once, he goes, I didn't know that you were the champion, like Hulk Hogan. And Dusty explained to him that he had won the match, but because it was by countout, he did not take the championship belt home. The first of many mentions of the word belt here on this show. Clearly, Cody, you could tell he's been gone for 6 years. He forgot where he is. It's going to take a little bit of time to adjust. But he kept saying belt over and over. I could just picture Vince McMahon tearing what's left of his hair out of his head in the back. Paul Heyman says, Hogan was the biggest heel of the night. He was the biggest heel of the night. Hey, Rax, you got a problem with that. Talk to YouTube. I don't know where you've been. He's acting like it's a big shock to him to find out that YouTube disabled dislikes. I don't run YouTube. You have a problem with YouTube, take it up with them. Don't bother me with this shit. Don't waste my time. So anyway, Dusty took the time to explain that to him. That's why he didn't win the championship. Cody said, at that point, he's 8 years old. He goes, what's a boy to do? Because right then and there, he knew what he needed to do. He was going to win this championship belt right here, the one in that photo, and he was going to hand it to the American Dream and tell him that nobody can take it away from you now. And that's a story that Cody has told in various interviews. He's done a whole bunch of interviews over the last few days. He's probably been chomping at the bit to get out there and do these interviews because they've kept him under lock and key until WrestleMania. So he's told that story before, that his ultimate dream was to win the title and then be able to hand it to Dusty. And of course, now he can't do that because, Dusty passed away. So he's not going to be able to do that. But he said, unfortunately, that dream died. The opportunity passed, or did it? He says, yes, I cannot physically put the belt in Dusty's hands, but I can put it around the waist of the American Nightmare. And the crowd liked that. And they cheered and they said, you can do it. We got a whole crowd of Rob Schneiders talking about, you can do it. So he got, you can do it chants here from this crowd. So Cody has made his, and that was the whole promo. That was how, that was as far as, the key point that he was trying to make in the promo. It all built to that one point, which was him stating exactly why he is here. That was the entire point of this. So he has made his intentions clear. He stands before us ready, finally ready, he says. He's going to do it for us. He's going to do it for himself and his family. But most of all, he's going to do it for the American Dream. Dusty Rhodes. Seth Rollins' music interrupts him. Seth gets in the ring and the two come face to face. Cody tosses the mic aside, and he puts his hand out to shake the hand of Seth Rollins, and Seth stares at him for a while, and eventually Rollins accepts the gesture, and he leaves, and that was the segment. Seth Rollins didn't turn on him. Seth Rollins didn't kick him in the gonads. He didn't, cut his own promo. He just shook Cody's hand, and he walked away. And I really liked the promo because, again, there's that element of realism to it. You've heard Cody tell these stories a lot before, so it's true in that this is how he really feels. And he's incorporating that now into his story on the air. The story of Cody Rhodes, now the character in WWE, we know what fuels him. We know what motivates him. This was his mission statement. On day one here, the first night back with a mic in his hand, we got Cody Rhodes coming out in front of the world and giving us his mission statement. Here's who I am, and here's why I'm here. It was simple. It was to the point. Instead of just bringing him back and then people wondering, why are you back, right? He made it very clear exactly why he's back. And it set the stage for his story now, where he's going to be chasing for the championship that his father never held. His father is a former NWA champion. His father held championships in almost every territory, except WWE. His father was never the world champion in WWE. They put him in polka dots. They had him dancing around with Sapphire. His run there was relatively brief. He made the most of it, even with the polka dots. He got over. He was very popular. He was one of the bigger baby faces in the company because he was Dusty Rhodes. And he had a certain charisma to him that very few people have naturally. But he was never the world champion. Cody is here because he wants to do what his father never did. He wants to be the WWE champion. I wasn't totally sold on the idea before as far as Cody, being the one to dethrone Roman Reigns when Roman does eventually lose that championship. And I don't know if that's the idea that WWE has in mind here, but I think they should. And part of the reason I wasn't completely sold on the idea, frankly, is just because I didn't trust WWE to bring this guy in and actually see him on that level. I'm still not 100% convinced that they do, but the fact that they sent him out there on day one to tell us, I'm here to win the world title, they have told you what his path is going to be. Now, maybe when he gets there, he fails. Maybe he loses maybe just like everybody else does to Roman Reigns. But they've planted their flag in the ground, and they've almost, there really is no other way they can go with this now. They have to eventually have Cody work his way up to where he will challenge for the world title. So at least for now, Cody is safe. Cody isn't going to be chasing R-Truth and Tozawa around for the 24/7 title. Cody is not going to go after, you know, some other meaningless title like the Intercontinental title, which means nothing. Cody is here for one reason. So at least we know for a while he's safe. Although he's not going to jump into it right away. Obviously, he'll be wrestling a few people along the way. He's got to work his way up to that point. But Cody, I believe, could absolutely be the person to take that championship from Roman Reigns. Whether it's later this year, is that a story they build up for WrestleMania next year? I don't think they would wait that long and do that match at WrestleMania. I could see that as SummerSlam. Yeah, sometime later in the summer, later in the year, I could see that being a match. But again, the man's path is clear, and we know why he's here. And at least we know he won't wind up in the middle of the card where he was last time in 3 months. Maybe it'll take about 9 months for him to get back there. But for the time being, I like what they did here. I like this promo. You know, on the subject of Cody and some of the interviews that he's done recently and some of the, you know, the stories that he's told, he made comments recently. And this is one of the reasons, maybe one of the reasons why, frankly, he wanted to go back to WWE. But the issue, one of the issues with Cody and AEW is, they had painted themselves into a corner, and apparently it was Cody's idea, creatively. But they had painted themselves into a corner in that Cody lost that match early in AEW's run, right? When he wrestled Chris Jericho, he didn't win. The stipulation was if he doesn't win, he will never, ever again challenge for the AEW world title. People break stipulations all the time in wrestling. But they were adamant, Cody was adamant, like, nope, I lost the match, I'm going to adhere to the stipulation. And why would you make a stipulation like that? Since Cody Rhodes is one of the top stars in that, you know, upstart company, and you're all of a sudden you're yanking one of your top names out of the world title picture. Well, he's talked about that recently and said the reason he did that is because he figured that if he was challenging for the championship or if he was the AEW world champion, people would hate it. They would look at it and they would go, oh, he's an EVP, or, oh, you know, of course he's booking himself to be champion. He figured people would hate it. What ended up happening is, people ended up hating the fact that he couldn't challenge for the championship, he said. So, in the end, they hated it anyway. And he didn't see any way out of it. And he goes, I could be a 15-time TNT champion. He goes, I love that title. I love that belt. But that doesn't really inspire him. And also, it's not fair to the other people who are there who are trying to be TNT champion. So, you know, as it turns out, it was a very dumb move to book that stipulation in the first place. Now he doesn't have that problem. Now he can wrestle for the world championship. So the handshake with Rollins, as far as that goes, there's going to be a rematch. Clearly, this is not going to be the fourth. Yeah, this is not a brand new friendship or an alliance between these two. They have a pay-per-view coming up called WrestleMania Backlash, which tends to have some rematches from WrestleMania. And I could almost guarantee you that one of those rematches will be Cody Rhodes against Seth Rollins. So that's where that's going. We have the new women's tag team champions, Sasha Banks and Naomi, taking on two of their opponents from last night, Rhea Ripley and Liv Morgan. This was a non-title match. We got a few rematches on the show tonight. This was kind of one of them. There was a cool spot here. There was like an alley-oop by Rhea into a powerbomb by Liv Morgan. So she kind of threw Sasha Banks to Liv. Liv turned it into a powerbomb and got an earfall out of it. Sasha and Naomi ended up winning the match with the same finish they used to win the titles of WrestleMania. Naomi had Liv in the glam slam position. Sasha Banks rolled through up into a code breaker. She got the pin. And when the match was over, Rhea Ripley was very disappointed. You could tell. She was very frustrated by the loss. And she walked out. And later on in the show, there was a backstage segment where Liv Morgan finally found Rhea. She said, I've been looking all over for you. Where have you been? And Rhea told her that she had spoken to Adam Pearce, probably Adam Pearce and Sonya Deville, and has gotten them a tag team title match for next week. Now, how she managed to swing this, I don't know. Apparently, you could just go over to the authority figures and say, I want something. If you do it in a nice way, they'll give it to you. Because they lost at WrestleMania. They didn't have to fight for it. They didn't have to. And look, they lost tonight. It's not like they came back and they won. They lost. But they're getting a tag team title match anyway next week. The split is coming after they lose. That's the good part about this. The good part is Rhea Ripley is already fucking frustrated with the fact that Liv Morgan is a loser on this show. And she does not want to be associated with this woman. She already went through this once before with Nikki Cross, who turned into a loser. After she lost that women's title, she couldn't win a match to save her life. And all she did was drag Rhea deeper and deeper and further down into the abyss. And now she sees this happening all over again with Liv Morgan. See, the message in this is that you don't need a tag team partner because all they do is drag you down. Very simple. I've been saying for the longest time, why is Rhea Ripley just meandering around in these random tag teams? So when they lose next week, and they will be the beginning of the end of the short-lived tag team of Rhea Ripley and Liv Morgan. And as I pitched during my WrestleMania stream last night, the moment I saw Damian Priest come out and walk out of WrestleMania with Edge, shoulder to shoulder, both men walking out of the stadium together, and we've heard rumors of a possible, you know, WWE wanting to form maybe a heel faction with Edge, and Priest was rumored for it, but that was the only name that was mentioned. But the first thing I said, as soon as that segment was over last night, I went on Twitter, I said, you know, Rhea Ripley would be my pick for another addition to this new brood, whatever they're going to call it. I think she would be a great addition to this stable, if in fact Edge is forming a full-fledged stable of, you know, three or four different people. My vote is for Rhea Ripley to be part of that group. And so the fact that they're already teasing a possible split between these two tells me that, first of all, she's probably going to go heel. And if she goes heel, it's like a glove. I'm telling you, Rhea Ripley should be part of this group. And I think she will be. But first, they have to go next week to challenge for those titles and lose. And I expect that to happen. So as Rhea, though, after the tag match, as Rhea was walking to the back, Kevin Owens walked right by her on his way to the ring. And that was the next segment here after they came back from the commercial break. Owens admitted that his plan for Stone Cold Steve Austin might have been a mistake. As it turns out, Austin was still great. And you had to be great to be one of the greatest to ever step in the ring, that being himself. Owens tricked Austin into wrestling again, but he may have tricked himself because he said he had a bit of a bad back going into that match. He goes, go back and watch the footage. You can't see it on my face because I'm a trooper, but the way I'm walking to the ring, it's like I'm limping. It's true. I had a bad back. He thought that Austin's win should be stricken from the record book. All of a sudden, music begins to play. I don't really recognize what this music is. On the Titantron, they put a name up that says Ezekiel, and my heart dropped because my first thought was, oh my God, they're bringing back Ezekiel Jackson. My second thought was, why? With all the talent they have, why are they bringing Ezekiel Jackson back? But thankfully that didn't happen. Instead, here comes Elias. And it took me a few seconds to realize who it is, but yeah, you look at the face, you can tell who it is. But here comes Elias, still with the long hair, totally clean shaven. Not a hair on his face. Still has the long hair, but he's wary. This fucking guy, he looks like a generic wrestler straight out of Creator Wrestler mode in 2K22. If I were to go into 2K22 right now and just create a brand new wrestler from scratch and make him look like the most generic scrub possible, this is what you would end up with. Got wrestling trunks. He's got the wrestling boots. So the jeans are gone. The workman boots are gone. The guitar is gone. And he comes walking down to the... You know, usually the way this works is that somebody, when they debut early in their career, they're very generic, right? That's usually how it works. At the beginning, you're first trying to find yourself. You don't really know what you want to be or what your persona, your character is going to be. But eventually you work your way up to some kind of a unique personality. In this case, he's gone the opposite way, where he had this unique character, and now he has regressed to being the most generic possible wrestler that you have ever seen. So he walks to the ring. Kevin Owens is squinting. He's like, Elias? Like, he's completely confused by what he's seeing here. And Elias said that he wasn't Elias, right? So this is a man who used to come out and go, hello, I am Elias, and now it's, I'm not Elias. He goes, he was Elias's younger brother, Ezekiel. Remember that time on Raw? This is probably going back about 4 years, where we had the segment in the ring. It was actually one of the more memorable segments in the last 10 years on Monday Night Raw. Elias and Kevin Owens were in the ring together, and they were in Seattle. And the Supersonics had already moved to Oklahoma City probably like a decade earlier. I mean, it's not like they just moved there. But, you know, the Supersonics used to be in Seattle. That was the NBA franchise there. And so, you know, he's trying to get cheap heat, and he made that crack about, you know, talking about things that don't make sense. He goes, yeah, it's like having a basketball team in Seattle. That doesn't really make sense. And the nuclear heat that this man got, the sustained nuclear heat that Elias got for that crack. Kevin Owens knows nothing about sports. So you go back and watch that segment. It's on their YouTube channel. You look at Kevin Owens, and he looks completely confused. He's like, holy shit, like, you really pissed these people off. But he doesn't know anything about sports. He's completely befuddled by this. But this probably went on for like 6 minutes straight. It was ridiculous. It was a lot of fun to watch. And it's funny because later on he said he was really worried the whole time because he was sure, because they had gone so far over the allotted time for that segment. He thought for sure when he got to the back, they were going to just fucking rake him over the coals for it. But yeah, one of the more memorable segments in Raw in the last decade involved these two men together, Kevin Owens and Elias. So I don't know. It made me think of that. It's good times. So anyway, Owens said that he hated liars. He called Elias a liar. And he said, I hate liars. And Elias said that, well, then you must hate yourself because you lied to Stone Cold and you got stunned. Crowd chanted, you got stunned. Owens said that he never liked Elias, and he likes him even less now. Owens told him to get the hell out of the ring, and when he didn't, he started counting down from 10. And he counted all the way down to 0, and Elias didn't leave, but Kevin Owens did. Kevin Owens ended up walking to the back. Quite the come down for Kevin Owens. Here's a man who had the biggest moment of his entire career at WrestleMania just 2 nights ago. He wrestled Stone Cold Steve Austin in the main event of WrestleMania. In Austin's first match in 19 years, and very likely Austin's final match, officially, his final match. To go from that, I mean, really, where do you go from there? I'm trying to think of, like, realistically, other things that Kevin Owens can do now in his WWE career. You know, he's been Universal Champion before, but, you know, it's very clear he's not going to be challenging for the Universal title anytime soon. What else can Kevin Owens do? He got his WrestleMania main event. He got to wrestle his fucking hero, one of the biggest stars of all time in the entire business, in front of, you know, 65,000 people. What's left for him to do? He could retire right now. Not that I want him to, but he could retire right now and probably be very content with how things ended up with his career. So you go from that to being in the ring with Elias, who's not Elias. It's Elias's brother named Ezekiel. And that's what they had Kevin Owens doing on the show tonight. Now, I know that there are probably people who are waiting for me to react in a negative way. Oh my God, what have they done to Elias? And, you know, I mentioned how generic he looked. I'm not going to do that, though. And the reason I'm not going to do that is because I didn't give a shit about Elias before. So if I didn't give a shit about Elias before, then why would I give a shit about him now? I get upset and I get animated about people and things that I actually care about when they're misused or they're mistreated or miscast or buried or whatever. That really gets me angry. And I vent and I talk about it. I have no emotion with this. I don't care. I didn't care about him before, And I certainly don't care about him now. And as far as where he's going to end up, you know, this thing has Mizdow Midcard written all over it. I could see this becoming like a comedy gimmick that actually gets over. But it's basically like a Mizdow gimmick. It's going to have a short shelf life. It's not going to go anywhere. And he's going to be pretty much where he would have been anyway. He's going to be right there in the mid to lower part of the card, and that's going to be it for him. But after all these months of him being off television and being away, it's amazing to me that the big idea they came up with was to shave his face and send him out there wearing fucking salmon tights as Elias's younger brother. This was the great idea, the great creative idea that they came up with for him. Yeah, good luck with that. Good luck with that. Look, I may not have cared much for the Elias character or his, you know, his matches. I didn't give a shit about his matches. I might not have cared about any of that before, but I care even less about this now. At least before he had something. Now he has nothing. So way to go, WWE. Good job. Good job. Speaking of things I don't care about, we have The Miz. One-on-one with Dominic Mysterio. No mention, by the way, about, you know, the whole Logan Paul thing where he gave him a skull-crushing finale, he turned on him and left him laying. You know, they showed a replay of it. There was no follow-up as far as, maybe, unless I missed it or something, I looked away or whatever, there was a quick backstage segment, but I didn't see anything. There was no why or, you know, anything like that. So he comes out, he was going to have a match with Dominic. And the bell rings, and Miz ends up winning with a skull-crushing finale. This went about 30 seconds. That was the entire match. He hit the skull-crushing finale, he pinned him, and that was the end of Dom. Thanks for coming, Dom. Thanks for coming. Speaking of coming, it finally happened. This is the point in the show where it finally happened after months and months and months and months and months. I got to put it back on screen again. This is so exciting. After months of this, Veer arrived on Monday Night Raw. Veer has come. He exploded onto the scene, and he finished off Dominic. He walked to the ring. Miz got the hell out of there because he didn't want to have anything to do with this guy. He didn't want to get anything on him. So he left. Veer got in the ring, and he attacked both Mysterios. He dropped Rey with a side slam. He put Dominic in a modified camel clutch. He forced Dominic into submission. Rey was tugging on Veer. He was tugging on him. He was trying to get him to let go, but he wouldn't do it until finally the referee got him off. So that was the big debut for Veer, or the big re-debut. We've seen Veer before, but it's been so long, it basically is like he was never there in the first place. And, you know, I actually was kind of holding out hope. It's kind of holding out hope. If you follow any of this Veer stuff on social media, you know, Veer puts these pictures on that he's dressed like a playboy, this guy. And I thought, well, maybe, you know, so much time has passed by. Maybe they're going to change his gimmick and he's going to come out and actually show some personality and he's not just going to be the stereotypical, you know, even evil foreign menace or something. But it was the same Veer. You know, he's been wrestling on Main Event now for a while and, you know, he's got the paint on his forehead and all that. It's the same Veer that, you know, he's been. There was no real change to the character. I thought maybe if this guy can talk, if he's got some personality, maybe this could turn out to be fun. Maybe they can make him a babyface. But that is not what they did. This man is going to be chasing for the 24/7 title in a few months. So whatever they did on the show with him tonight, you know, they tried to make him dominant, and again, he's submitting Dominic in the middle of the ring. Dominic is, you know, furiously tapping out, and they want him to be this monster, this, like, unstoppable monster. That's fine. We see WWE do this all the time. This man is going to be chasing after the 24/7 title in a few months. Even Lord Tenzai got a win over John Cena on television. He spit the green mist in John Cena's face and he pinned him on TV. Even Lord Tenzai got a push for a little while until he didn't. And it didn't last long. And that was the end of Lord Tenzai. Lord Tenzai was someone who debuted on the Monday Night Raw the night after WrestleMania. They're following the same blueprint. I was in Miami. I was in the building that night. And he comes out and he's got that headgear on and nobody knew who it was at first. Maybe some people did. He got in the ring. He took the thing off and he had the characters on his face, tattooed on his face. As soon as he took his helmet off, everybody knew who he was. I mean, you can't possibly misjudge who this guy is. His head is gigantic. It's like a fucking bowling ball. People are chanting Prince Albert at him the whole night. Even Lord Tenzai got a push for a few weeks. This is going to be Veer. There's no point in even trying to imagine where is Veer going to go? How far can Veer go? Please. This is a waste of time. Give it a few months. After this initial push is over, he'll be forgotten about. That's just the way it is in this company. We were back with the new Raw Women's Champion, Bianca Belair. She took her glasses off and had a huge shiner, huge black eye underneath her left eye. After Becky kicked her in the face on Saturday night, her eye was almost completely swollen shut. I'll tell you what, she's lucky that's all it is. Because if that was an orbital injury, she'd be out for a long time. Long enough that she might have to forfeit the championship, so... She's very fortunate that it wasn't any worse than that. She said that she was here tonight with one eye. She said that she realized that it could all be taken away from her in an instant. She said Becky Lynch tried to take everything away from her, including her hair and her eye. She said the fan, she was trying to dissect this woman, I guess, right? She's trying to pick off pieces of poor Bianca. By the way, and shout out to Tony Havoc. I see you. Shout out to Tony Havoc in the chat. Do hit that like button if you have not already done so. And I promise I will read your super chats here in a little bit if you want to get those on in. But Bianca said the fans deserve better than Becky. They deserve better than Becky Lynch. She said she will be the best champion that she can be because she's the EST. That's her gimmick. She says she knows what it's like to have the title snatched away and she never wants to lose it again. She says she's different after Saturday. She says she's better. Well, she's not because she's got one fucking eye, but that's what she said. She said Becky should consider taking some downtime to figure out who she is without the title. And she says she knows who she is. She is the Raw Women's Champion. She held up the belt. They shot off some pyro. And that was the segment. No Becky Lynch on this show. So we'll see how long they keep her off TV for. Probably wouldn't be a bad idea to give her a break for a little while. You know, I was talking about how we really didn't get any of the typical Raw after WrestleMania surprises or surprise debuts or anything like that that we oftentimes have gotten in the past. We knew Veer was coming. They told us last week. But, you know, Becky Lynch, if she goes away, Bayley is supposed to be back any week now. Asuka should be on her way back very soon. They have other women that they can plug in there if Becky does go away for a little bit. No Bayley, no Asuka. We didn't get anything like that on this show. I mean, I guess I shouldn't, you know, protest too much because I'm looking for Bayley. I'm looking for Asuka. We would have ended up with Lacey fucking Evans. But yeah, nobody like that on the show tonight. Again, very, very weird. We had an NXT champ. Speaking of weird, we had an NXT championship match here on Monday Night Raw. Dolph Ziggler defending against Bron Breakker in a rematch from Saturday's Stand and Deliver show where Dolph Ziggler retained his title. This felt more than anything else watching this. This felt like a test for Bron Breakker. Let's put him out there, one of our biggest shows of the year, and let's see how he does. Let's see how he reacts. Let's see how he performs. Let's see how the crowd reacts to him. If this was a crowd test, then this was a total fail. But otherwise, He looked fine out there, and he's working with Dolph, and Dolph's going to give him the best match possible, obviously. But they wanted him out there in front of a bigger audience than he would have had on Saturday for the title change there, so they just did it here instead. They reacted to the finish. They didn't react to anything else, and that was the big drawback of doing this match tonight. Nobody cared. Nobody cared. First of all, it's Dolph Ziggler. And the WWE main roster audiences have been conditioned to not give a shit about Dolph Ziggler. So nobody's going to react all that big to him being in the ring, which is a far cry from how it was the night after WrestleMania 9 years ago, where that's one of the biggest reactions I've ever heard in my life for Dolph Ziggler cashing in his Money in the Bank. Today, you saw it tonight, nobody gives a shit. Bron Breakker, not a lot of people know who he is because not a lot of people watch NXT. People didn't pay to come to the show to watch an NXT championship match. So they basically were sitting on their hands. They weren't reacting to anything. This did not feel like a championship match. Towards the finish, they finally reacted. Ziggler slapped Braun, though, before the match began. Braun avoided a kick. He countered a leapfrog into a great-looking body slam. Ziggler got control and had control through a break. After the break, Ziggler went for a Famouser, but Braun countered into a powerbomb. Bobby Roode jumped up on the apron to try to get involved. Ziggler used a schoolboy with that distraction, got a two count out of it. Braun wiped out Bobby Roode with a flip dive out over the top. Ziggler, though, on his way back in the ring, Ziggler caught him with a Famouser for a two. Dolph raked Braun in the eyes and hit a super kick for a near fall. That was the same way he beat him on Saturday to retain that title. This time he kicked out, though. Ziggler set up for another super kick, but Braun absolutely murdered him. And this is what got the biggest reaction to the match. He murdered this man with that spear. Bron Breakker at this moment has the best spear in all of wrestling. He puts his whole fucking force into that move and it looks great. You get a guy like Dolph Ziggler who can sell for it. So the move looked great. He picked Ziggler up, gorilla pressed him over into the power slam for the pin to win back the NXT championship. I like that they're going to keep him in NXT for a little while longer. I don't agree with some of these other people who, oh, they should call him up right now. They should belt him. They should put him in there with Roman Reigns. He should be full-time now on the Raw roster. No. No, he shouldn't. Bron Breakker is probably going to be on Raw or SmackDown before the year is up. In fact, I can almost guarantee you he will. But now is not the time. Now is not the time. I think that he would benefit, stay in NXT through at least part of the summer, if not most of the summer, maybe the entire summer. And then you can talk about maybe calling him up on a regular basis to Raw or SmackDown. I think he could be the one that drops the championship to Walter. And once he does that, then if you want to, you can call up Braun. But to me, there's no need to rush him right now. You have other people in NXT, and I'm hoping we see at least one of them on SmackDown this week, since we didn't see any of them tonight. There was no LA Knight. There was no Santos Escobar. There was no Tommaso Ciampa. You have other people that you can call up from that brand if you need bodies. Bron Breakker should not be called up yet to the main roster. And the fact that they put the NXT championship back on him tells me that they feel the same way, and that's good. That's a good thing. MVP was back on the show. We didn't see him at WrestleMania. He was conspicuous by his absence in Bobby Lashley's match with Omos, but there he was in the ring, and he was there to introduce the almighty Bobby Lashley, who now is officially a babyface on Monday Night Raw. It was very telling, though, when MVP was introducing him. He said Lashley was victorious over Omos last night, and he didn't even need me. He didn't even need me. That was a giveaway for what was about to happen. Lashley comes out. He calls Omos the strongest man he's ever been in the ring with. He said he started to doubt himself, but he knew that if Omos made a mistake, that's the opening that he would have needed. Omos came out. He said some stuff. He was yelling. He demanded a rematch. He called the win last night a fluke. So the two men are staring each other down, and all of a sudden, MVP clobbers Lashley from behind with his cane, right in the back. He mounts Lashley on the mat. He starts pounding away on him. He's repeating over and over again, "You don't need me. You don't need me." He's beating him up, and then he gets up. He tells Omos, punish him a little bit, and Omos is beating up on him. Finally, Lashley eats a running boot from MVP in the corner, and MVP poses with Omos to close out the segment. So, the Hurt Business, what was left of the Hurt Business, is no more. And they have put MVP officially with Omos. And if that sounds familiar, That is the very idea that I was discussing on the podcast and even kind of predicting before the day one pay-per-view at the beginning of the year when they were starting the tease of some dissension between MVP and Bobby Lashley. And they had very abruptly ended the tag team between AJ and Omos. They had been together for a year or maybe more than a year, but then they just sort of ended things out of nowhere. And I'm looking at this and I'm going, all right, this is becoming very clear now where this might be going. Lashley is going to split with MVP. He's going to go babyface. And the WrestleMania match is going to be Lashley against Omos. And I was hoping that Lashley would have something better to do on that show. But I was talking about this at the beginning of the year. It just took a little bit longer to get there. I didn't think that they would save the MVP turn for the night after WrestleMania. I thought it would come before. But there it is. I mean, this was not really a huge surprise. And look, it was the right move. If they're not going to give up on the Omos experiment, and evidently they're not going to, then he needs somebody to do the talking for him. The man, his promos are awful. His promos are awful. Half the time, it's hard to hear what he's even saying. You know, he's shouting it and grunting and whatever. MVP is there to do the talking for someone else. I don't need to see MVP wrestling anymore. But where MVP has value is as a manager, as a mouthpiece for somebody else. And if anybody in this company needs a mouthpiece right now, it's Omos. Now, the problem is that MVP being his manager doesn't do jack shit for Omos in the ring. He's still fucking terrible in there. But if they're not going to give up on the guy and they're going to insist on pushing him, he needs somebody to do the talking for him. And MVP is as good as anybody. I mean, I like the Lashley and the MVP pairing, but Lashley doesn't need MVP. Omos needs him a hell of a lot more than Bobby Lashley. And if he's sticking around and he's going to be on my TV every week, it's like Von Wagner in NXT. I don't give a shit about Von Wagner. Von Wagner, I mean, you listen to this guy talk. Oh my God. You can literally see the lines that he's trying to memorize in his brain as he's trying to say it. It's so unnatural when you watch him and you listen to him speak. And I said, please, for the love of God, if you're going to push this guy, put somebody in his corner, let him do, give him an agent. And let him do the talking for him. And that's what they did. They put Robert Stone with him. And Robert Stone does most of the talking. You'll notice, if for the people who watch NXT, when Robert Stone does the talking for Von Wagner, they usually leave a little something for Von Wagner at the end of the promo. And it almost always sucks. Even that little bit of dialogue always sucks. But they were smart enough to put somebody with him. And so it's the same basic concept here. Omos needs somebody in his corner. MVP is that guy. It's the move that makes sense. But there ain't a damn thing MVP is going to be able to do for this guy in the ring. Carmella and Zelina Vega, the former women's tag team champions. Turtlehead says, Von is an awesome name. Von Wagner is not an awesome name. I cannot hear the name Von Wagner and not think of fucking Benjamin Franklin or Thomas Jefferson or somebody like that. Why don't they put a fucking wig on his head? Send him out to the ring with a kite and a key. Carmella and Zelina Vega were out next. They were scheduled for a match with Shayna Baszler and Natalya, yet another rematch. But the match never happened. Zelina immediately grabbed the microphone. She blamed Carmella for their championship loss at WrestleMania. She said Carmella was too preoccupied with herself, called Corey Graves a fool for being with her. Carmella blew her off and said, big deal, you won the Queen's crown, so what? And I just wrote here, oh, actually, she said, who cares? Even better. She said, who cares? And I just wrote here, that's the most honest thing that has been said on this show in years, is the fact that she said, who cares about the Queen's crown? I said that from the moment the fucking tournament was announced. Who gives a shit? You saw the way they booked that tournament. I don't know how many matches went beyond 2.5 minutes. Maybe one. Who cares? I'm with Carmella. She walks out there wearing that crown as if it means anything. So Carmella said that she was going to have Zelina at her wedding as a bridesmaid. But now, if she wants to come, she could be the flower girl. And Zelina attacked her and Carmella escaped the ring. She jumped into Corey Graves' lap at ringside. Graves sat her down And he tried to, because they're getting married next week. So he sat her down. He tried to calm her down. And the two of them ended up having a makeout session and trying to shove their tongues down the other's throats. Or down each other's throat, I should say. I thought, for a second, I thought it was Tuesday. I thought I was watching NXT. The most sexualized show on all of television. NXT. They had a segment on the Stand and Deliver pre-show the other night. I didn't mention this in my review. But they have taken Idris Enofe and Malik Blade, and they have turned them into a tag team. And I don't remember if it was Idris or Malik. I want to say it was Idris, but one of them had like fucking condoms just hanging out of his pocket or something. Like that's just a little microcosm right there of what NXT is all about these days. So yeah, for a moment there, I lost myself and I said, why the fuck am I reviewing NXT live? What the hell's wrong with me? And then I realized, no, it's Monday. We had a 6-man tag with Randy Orton and Matt Riddle teaming with Finn Balor against the Usos and Austin Theory. Late in the match, Theory made a blind tag before Orton hit a draping DDT on Jimmy. Theory did a somersault into a drop kick, took out Orton. Balor tagged in. He went for the coup de grace, but Theory avoided it. We got an RKO to Jimmy Uso. We got a super kick from one of the Usos right into Matt Riddle's face as he came flying off the top rope. So he caught him in midair with a super kick. And then Austin Theory hit Finn Balor with his ATL finish, and he pinned him 1-2-3. So the United States champion, in the last three matches that he has had, lost in a battle royal. He was then pinned by Austin Theory later that same night. I believe it was a 6-man tag. And he was pinned by Theory again here in this match. Why is Austin Theory not the United States champion if he beats the U.S. champion so often? I mean, why isn't he the champion? Just put the title on him if you want him to beat Balor so much. It makes sense to me. It's clear that they see him as the next big star. I think they look at Austin Theory and they see the next John Cena. And he could be. He could be that level of star for them in the future. I've said that before. The fact that they keep pushing him and pushing him, I mean, you could tell. You could tell they have big things planned for him in the future. Even though he went to WrestleMania and he lost to Pat McAfee and he got stunned by Steve Austin, it's not about losing in those cases. Look at the position they put him in. They have him with Vince McMahon on television. He was basically Vince McMahon's surrogate at WrestleMania. He ate a stunner from Stone Cold Steve Austin. They had him working with Brock Lesnar, the final two men in the Elimination Chamber. And even though in most of these situations he was made to look like a fucking idiot, he was put in some pretty big spots that not just anybody would be put in. So they see big things in his future. And if they want Finn Balor to, you know, be part of the equation and help put him over, then that's fine. But at least get the fucking title off of him. That's all I'm saying. Get the title off of Finn Balor if this is how you want to use Balor. If you want Balor to be enhancement talent on this show, the most popular of enhancement talent, but if you want him to be enhancement talent, then fine. Take the fucking title off of him. Put the title on somebody else. Put it on Theory. Put it on Veer. I don't care. It's the U.S. title, the way they treat it. Who gives a shit? But just get it off him. That's all. And then you can have everybody beat Finn Balor every week. Although to me, I at some point would love to see, Edge and Damian Priest, who I'm going to talk about here in a second, but Edge and Priest against Styles and Balor, that could be a tag team match on television at some point in the next few weeks. Who knows if Finn Balor will have any value left at that point. The way things are going with him and his booking on TV, I'm not so sure. I think he's popular enough that he'll be okay, but just get the title off of him. Put it back on Priest. We had Malakai Edge out next for a promo in the ring. He came to the ring by himself. And Edge came out and he called himself an honest man. And yes, I agree, by the way, John Sterniker. Edge's entrance is very cool. He's got the great music And I am a fan now of this new entrance of his. It does still feel to me when I see him out there and some of the things he's saying, like he's just, you know, acting a little too much. But he plays the part well. So anyway, he called himself an honest man. He said AJ Styles would face his judgment day, and he did at WrestleMania. But he didn't expect Damian Priest to appear. He didn't know that Damian Priest was going to come out there when he did. For years, Priest tried to satisfy the sheep, just like he did. At that point, the crowd chanted, "We are sheep." And Edge called them idiots, which they are. I mean, that's just what the fuck they are. Then he told them all to rise for the man who respects his message, the man who will be the punishment for the guilty. Damian Priest. I love that little punishment Martinez nod there. For those who don't know, in Ring of Honor and elsewhere, he was Punishment Martinez before coming to WWE, so I like that. I like the fact that he's basically the punisher of this new group. I like that. So Priest comes out, and he said for weeks leading into WrestleMania, he was lost. At that point, he was interrupted by loud chants of, "We don't care," which is the official anthem of Monday Night Raw. So he's being serenaded by chants of, "We don't care." And he goes, "You know, there was a time where that would have bothered me." And Edge said, "Not anymore, losers," which led to chants of, "We are losers." Boy, these people in this building tonight have very low self-esteem. They really don't think very highly of themselves in Dallas. So he goes, "I know you were speaking to AJ Styles, but it felt like you were speaking directly to me when Edge would come out on TV and cut these promos." He goes, "It felt like you were addressing me in a way." He goes, "That's why it was so easy to make my decision to pledge my loyalty to you." So we have a new straight edge society here, apparently. Edge says that they're going to pass judgment on anybody who challenges their message. And then he turned his attention to AJ Styles. He knows that he's going to keep coming. Wrong. That's Veer. Get it right. AJ Styles heard enough of this shit. He came out. Thankfully, tonight, he didn't bust himself open on the way to the ring. Damian Priest went out after him, but he got thrown over the barricade into the crowd, and Styles got into the ring. He double-legged Edge and took him down. Then he posted him shoulder first in the corner. He brought chairs into the ring. He was going to give Edge a one-man concerto, but Damian Priest stopped him, and Edge laid out Styles with a spear. Not nearly as good as Braun Breaker's spear, but he laid him out with a spear. Priest slid a chair under AJ's head, and Edge picked up the other chair, but Jamie Noble and Daivari ran in with some referees to stop them. The crowd was shockingly quiet for this. From the moment that AJ came out to get revenge, and he beat up Priest, and he got in the ring, and he took Edge down, I mean, these are two of the biggest stars in the entire company. And AJ is in there, and he's taking the guy down, he's beating him up. Shockingly little response to any of this. But that was kind of the story of the night, I guess. But in this segment, it was really noticeable. After AJ came out, again, during the Edge and Priest portion, people were chanting stupid shit. I mean, they were chanting, "We are sheep," and "We are losers." And I mean, I think these people, you know what these people need? These people need some better help. Better help online therapy. I have a link and a code for that, by the way. BetterHelp.com/Solomonster. We had the Street Profits against the Alpha Academy. Well, there's a match we've never seen before. Well, at least we got Chad Gable and Otis on the show. At least, I was worried that when they lost the tag team titles, we would never see them again. So at least they're getting TV time. Gable and Otis attacked Ford and Dawkins from behind at the very beginning of this, and all four men were brawling. Adam Pearce comes out and he goes, whoa. He goes, "If all of you guys wanted to fight at the same time, you should have just asked me." Yeah, like Rhea Ripley did, right? Just all you got to do is ask. She wanted a tag team title match. Voila, she has a tag team title match next week. These men want to fight in the ring at the same time without having to make tags. Just ask. And he turned it into a Texas Tornado match with no tags needed. Montez Ford did the same corner dive that he did at WrestleMania over the post onto the pile outside. This time it looked like he got his own partner more than he got the other guys. Landed right on top of Dawkins. Alpha Academy took control through a commercial break. Otis pulled the table out from under the ring and the crowd cheered for the table more than they cheered for 95% of the people on this show. Outside of Cody Rhodes and maybe the bloodline at the very end, the people cheered for the table, an inanimate object, more than they did for 90% of the other people on this show. The table is always over. We talk about Stone Cold coming back after 19 years and getting a monster reaction to WrestleMania. Some guys just have that intangible quality to them where you can have 5, 10, 20 years go by and they're going to come out and they're going to just get that superstar reaction, right? That's why they're in the Hall of Fame. That's why people like Austin and Rock, and Rock will eventually be in the Hall of Fame. That's why these guys are the best at their craft, right? They're legends. But you know who else is a legend? The table. The table is a legend. Now, the ladder is a legend too, but the ladder is below the table. The ladder has its fans. The ladder has gets its occasional chance, but the ladder is below the table. There is no other inanimate object that gets chance and a reaction the way that a table does. The table should be in the Hall of Fame. I think they should set up an inanimate object or a weapons wing, if you will, of the WWE Hall of Fame. We already have a celebrity wing, so let's have a wing for inanimate objects like tables, ladders, and chairs. Of course, the ever so popular kendo stick. I mean, that's a first ballot Hall of Famer right there if I've ever heard. So we could put the kendo stick in the Hall of Fame. We've had handcuffs be used, right? Thumbtacks. We'll bring in Thumbtack Jack and he can do the induction, or Mick Foley if Thumbtack Jack is not available. What else can we put in the Hall of Fame? What other inanimate object can we put in the Hall of Fame? Maybe a TV monitor, right? We'll come up with a whole list. Put together a little video package of the greatest moments of the table, all the big table bumps from over the years. I like this idea. I think we're onto something here. So, Otis pulls out a table. Sledgehammer, of course. My God, how can I forget? Of course, the sledgehammer will go into the Hall of Fame. Trash cans, bedpan. These are all great ideas. I like it. I like it. We should have an inanimate be the booker. That's not a bad idea. That is not a bad idea. I should work on that. You guys seem more interested in this idea than you do Monday Night Raw. So Otis pulled out a table. Let me get through this here. Otis pulled out a table. Gable tried to give Montez Ford a superplex through the table, but Ford pushed him off the top. Dawkins knocked Gable backwards onto the table. So now Gable is laid out, and Montez Ford, he sails through the air for that big frog splash that he does. And he lands right on top of Gable, right through the table, to get the pin and win it for the Street Profits. And then the show ended with the Bloodline, the new unified WWE and Universal Heavyweight Champion, Roman Reigns, coming out with the SmackDown Tag Team Champions, the Usos, and the wise man himself, Paul Heyman, all draped in gold. They walk out to the ring, and I'm thinking, all right, I'm racking my brain trying to figure out if Brock's not there tonight, if he's flown home already, but they're going to maybe set up the next challenger for Roman Reigns, then who could possibly come out and interrupt this segment? And the name I kept coming back to was Drew McIntyre. But I thought we would get some indication of what the direction is going to be for Roman Reigns. Silly me. They come to the ring. Reigns had Paul Heyman list off a bunch of business milestones for the company that have occurred this year. First year ever, $1 billion in revenue, blah, 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 on and on. All of which he says Roman Reigns was the champion for. Throughout this entire year, this entire period, who was the champion? Roman Reigns. So you can credit him for all of the great business success that this company has experienced. Reigns called himself the last needle mover because he is always operating in God mode. But he said he's a man of his word. He called his shot and he delivered. He said he was going to smash Brock Lesnar and he did. But that is the past now. That's in the past. He's never content. He's constantly moving forward. So this Friday on SmackDown, they're going to let all of us know what the next step is. But for now, Dallas, Texas, acknowledge me. And that was it. That was the end of Monday Night Raw. The Raw after WrestleMania was over. That was how they went off the air. So they came out to announce that they're going to have something to announce on Friday. Who do they think they are? Tony Khan? This was fucking lame. Roman not showing any visible signs of injury, but who knows? Maybe they are waiting on test results and they're not quite sure what condition he's in. But this was a whole bunch of nothing here is what this was. This was a lame fucking way to go off the air for your big Raw after WrestleMania show. I hope they gave the people in the building, you know, some kind of a dark match or a dark segment or something to send them home at least thinking like they got something special. Because if this is how people were left when this show was over, I'd be pretty fucking upset about that. So what do they do with Roman Reigns, though? Right? We didn't find out tonight. They were teasing that they're going to let us know on SmackDown on Friday what the next direction is going to be for Roman Reigns. As I think about this, and I think about the Raw roster, and I think about the SmackDown roster, and I will throw a wild card out there as well. Okay, there's three options as I see it, as far as what's next for Roman Reigns in the championship. Brock Lesnar is the obvious choice. Brock Lesnar went home. But Brock Lesnar is scheduled for the next pay-per-view. In fact, I think he's scheduled for the next two pay-per-views. He will be at WrestleMania Backlash on May 8th. So we have a month to go. It seems pretty obvious to me that we're going to probably get another match, though, between Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns. Because in the match last night, there was a low blow, there was a ref bump, and you know, there was some chicanery going on there. I still think they're going to go back to that well one more time. We're probably going to get another match between Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns. It's just a feeling that I have. Even though Roman said he's moving on, that's the past. I feel like that's still the match that we're going to end up getting. And part of the reason is there ain't nobody else. There's nobody else. The other option, the only other viable option, and I don't know that they want to go to it this quickly, is Bobby Lashley. I'm sorry, not Bobby Lashley, is Drew McIntyre. I was originally thinking Lashley, but now that we see his feud with Omos is going on, you can scratch him off that list. It's Drew McIntyre. You literally have Brock Lesnar or Drew McIntyre, and that's it. Those are the only realistic, viable options right now. Everybody else is involved in a tag team, or they're involved in their own program. You know, Randy Orton is doing the RK-Bro thing. AJ Styles is feuding with Edge. Bobby Lashley is feuding with Omos. Okay, may God help him. You look over on SmackDown, it ain't much better. Kevin Owens isn't doing much of anything, but Kevin Owens is a heel, and we already saw him fall three times, in fact, to Roman Reigns early on in his title run. There ain't nobody else. I talked about this last night at the end of the WrestleMania review. They did this to themselves. They have not built anybody else up. But I said the wild card, right? I mentioned a wild card. And it's not going to be Cody Rhodes right away. I cannot see it being Cody right off the bat. I'm not saying it's impossible, but you want to tell the Cody Rhodes story the right way. You don't thrust him immediately into a championship match that he's not going to win. I know when AJ Styles debuted in 2016, within two or three months, he was wrestling Roman Reigns for the championship. I don't see that happening yet with Cody. The wild card, I mentioned there were no NXT call-ups on the show tonight. But there's one name that absolutely should be on the main roster. And I'm hoping we see him on Friday. Maybe we'll even see him interrupting a segment with the Bloodline. LA Knight. I know it's a stretch. But LA Knight is somebody who, if they want to take a new face, and even though he's not going to win, he's going to get beat. It's not the ideal way to debut somebody new on the main roster. They need somebody. And if it's not Brock, and it's not Drew, you call up LA Knight, the guy comes out, he interrupts the Bloodline on Friday, they're looking at him like, who the hell are you? And he can talk, he can handle himself, so he'll cut a promo on the Bloodline. LA Knight can talk. You put a mic in his hand, he can talk. And there's no bigger way for him to show up on the scene than interrupting the top champion in the company. All of a sudden, you've at least created a new face on that brand who can hopefully be looked at as a credible challenger to Roman Reigns. That's the wild card. I still say it's going to be Brock Lesnar. That's it. I look at these rosters and there's nobody else. LA Knight could work in that spot. And if he loses, he's not buried. It's not the end of LA Knight. But he absolutely could hold his own and could occupy that spot and be sort of an interim challenger, if you would, for the championship. Look at Chris Jericho, his first night on Raw back in 99. He comes out there, he interrupts The Rock. Now, we never did get a match between them. So maybe LA Knight interrupts, but doesn't actually get a title match right away. It could still end up being Brock Lesnar. I like the idea, though, of LA Knight interrupting the Bloodline on Friday to establish that I'm the newest face here on SmackDown. It does kind of remind me, now that I think about that, of what they did with Jericho back in 99. They gave him the rub in his very first segment on TV by having him go back and forth on the mic with The Rock. Those are the only three names that I have on my mind right now. I cannot think of anybody else that I look at and go, yeah, you know what? I can see that. I can see them doing that. There's nobody else. Outside of the opening Cody Rhodes promo, this was a very boring episode of Raw. This was a very boring night after WrestleMania episode of Raw. There were some things that happened. There was an NXT title change, you know, MVP turning on Lashley. There were some noteworthy things that happened, but this was largely a very dull, very boring show. So we already have three matches announced for Raw next Monday. AJ Styles one-on-one with Damian Priest. Sasha Banks and Naomi take on Rhea Ripley and Liv Morgan for the women's tag team titles. And Rey Mysterio one-on-one against Veer. There's your Raw lineup so far for next Monday. Here's the Twitter poll. Oh my goodness. 15% thumbs up. 32% thumbs in the middle. 51% of you called the night after WrestleMania edition of Raw a thumbs down show. So there it is. I mean, it kind of speaks for itself, doesn't it? Thumbs down. Say the voters here for Monday Night Raw tonight. You know, Lakers Pats, you might be onto something here. He said, what about Wee Man? Wee Man was one of the most over people on the entire show last night. Wee Man and Pat McAfee. You know, actually, now that I think about this, I hadn't even thought about McAfee. I wouldn't do it because I just think it's ridiculous. The guy's a fucking announcer for the show. But I don't know that I wouldn't necessarily put it past them to do something with Roman Reigns and Pat McAfee. Because Pat McAfee, he's over. People like Pat. Pat's very good. But I think Pat needs to just be at the announce desk. But yes, Wee Man against Roman Reigns. You know what? It probably would get a better reaction than most of the stuff that was on the show tonight. That's the sad part about it. Fucking Wee Man. Oh, boy. Ciampa and Roman, you could do it. I don't see him doing it. I don't see that. I actually think there's a better chance of it being LA Knight, frankly, than Tommaso Ciampa. All right, let me take a look at your Super Chats here and find out what you guys are talking about tonight. I do thank you for sticking with me all these streams that we've been doing over the last several days. It's been a whirlwind covering AEW and covering WrestleMania, NXT, and even the Raw After, where I usually don't go live on YouTube, but I naively thought that tonight would be a really special, exciting show. Not a very memorable episode of Raw. I don't think people are going to be going back and talking about this show years from now. Joshua Carlos, we begin with Joshua. You think Cody's current character fits better in WWE style compared to AEW's? I think Cody's persona fits fine in both companies. I don't think it fits any better in one over the other. And actually, if I was to say that, okay, it fits better in one over the other, it probably fits better in AEW, just because in terms of his promos, I think in AEW he has more leniency as far as kind of workshopping his own stuff, which I'm sure he, you know, I'm sure he came up with all of his own shit. And in WWE, they might give him that ability here too, but he'll probably have less freedom here than he did in AEW. But honestly, Cody fits in both. Cody is probably now one of the few things that I will look forward to in WWE every week in terms of, okay, what do they do with him? What do they do with him? Do they commit to this story? Do they tell this story in the right way? I am very intrigued to see how this plays out. So Cody went from being one of the most interesting parts of AEW television, just based on the reactions he was getting, to now being probably the most interesting thing to me on WWE television. Jamie Dorsch, what was the better feud? Kane against The Undertaker or The Undertaker against Mankind? Ted Evans says, Solo Monster picks SmackDown on Friday and Raw. Yikes. Poor life choices. It all comes down to poor life choice. See, I do this to illustrate to all of you what not to do in life. I do regret not watching that Supercard of Honor show live, though, but at least I was able to catch up with it the next day. I did have to fast forward through some stuff, though. As far as better feud, Kane and Undertaker or Undertaker and Mankind, I think that the matches with Undertaker and Mankind were much better than the matches with Kane and The Undertaker. But the Kane and The Undertaker story, of course, that's the stronger story. And it's, you know, it had a lot more longevity than Undertaker and Mankind. So story-wise, I'd go with Kane. Match-wise, I would go with Mankind. Shin Akuma, once again, thanks for what you do. Thank you, Shin. Shin's been with us for almost all of these streams. So I know I don't think he's with us live at the moment, but thank you to him for that. Winston Smith, Triple H had one of the best returns of all time in 2002, helped by vignettes set to A Beautiful Day by U2. So Solo Monster, do you have a favorite U2 song? I don't know if I have a favorite specific U2 song. The streets are... Well, I don't think I do. Shin Akuma, $10 super chat. See you on Wednesday, Solomon. And there's Cody. There's Cody on screen with his golden shovel. Looks like the Coug in the chat didn't listen to episode 750 of the podcast. Shame on you. You didn't hear my Ring of Honor review. That's on you. But anyway, Shin, thank you for the super chat. I appreciate that. Clapstick 77, Ezekiel may be one of the worst repackages of a wrestler since Saba Simba. Well, maybe not as offensive as Saba Simba. Mordecai McNasty, Veer finally came, and I'm happy it was on Dominic. Well, better on him than on me. Germinator 24, bad after WrestleMania Raw, boring. Thumbs down, he says. Diarlo Renford, what is your favorite post-Mania Raw debut or return of all time? Brock Lesnar coming out on Raw in 2012, the night after WrestleMania 28. Mark Kwan, 1976. Raw after WrestleMania is bittersweet for me. In 2019, my brother and I talked hours about WrestleMania 35. Didn't know that it would be our last conversation. He introduced me to wrestling and owe him everything. Rest in peace, big bro. Well, I'm sorry to hear about your loss, and but I'm glad that you were able to share those moments together. But again, my condolences, Mark Juan. Very sorry to hear that. Mordecai McNasty, WWE makes being a wrestling fan so toxic, as said by Fiery Blaze, it's like an abusive relationship. Side note, I really don't like Dominic. Well, tell me how you really feel. Skyline, who sent me an email. I responded back to you, by the way, if you didn't see it. Skyline says, John Moxley against Tom Lawler, live at the Defy Wrestling Show. I think that's, what is that, April 30th? He's very excited. Apparently, he's going to that show at the end of the month. Now he's going to be able to see Moxley against Lawler. Lakers Pat's Veer has come, and so have I. TMI, my friend. Joshua Edwards, who would you have Brock Lesnar feud with this summer? Edge. Ojali Burgos sent a $5 super chat. Well, it was fun while it lasted. Still an all-time great weekend, but WWE's back to normal, I guess. At least baseball's back on Friday. Go O's and Mets. That's right, go Mets. Opening day is coming up. Elijah Ricard was expecting something at the end, but then again, that's on me for giving them the benefit of the doubt. Is it Wednesday yet? Not yet. Almost. It is Tuesday, though, officially. It's after midnight here. It is officially Tuesday. Which means Chinese food night I'm very excited about. More excited to have about my Chinese food than I am Monday Night Raw. Plague Injected. We got our two nights of quality content for the year. We got our two nights of quality content for the year. Back to the muck and the shit for another 52 weeks. Well, 51. Turtlehead. I was happy to see Veer come. I'm sure he was too. The Mount Vernon Kid, the Alpha. This is Beat Up the Mysterios week, isn't it? I guess so, yeah. Beat Up the Mysterios, or like when AJ in the club right, beat up John Cena. Steven Chapa with the $30 Bully the Clown says, couldn't go to a whole Mania season. Oh, disappeared. Where'd it go? You guys are too fast for me. Couldn't go a whole Mania season without dropping by. Thanks for the constant streams, Solomonster. Well, thank you to Steven. I think because of Steven, we've had a lot of Bully the Clown appearances this weekend. One of my favorite super chats there. Samoan fan, can we get Elias back? Ezekiel sucks. Elias wasn't much better. Daniel Carr, I'm paying for Solomonster to call me a little bastard again. Well, let me tell you something, you little bastard. Thank you for your super chat. Diarlo Renford. There he is. Where is he? 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 There he is. Buy, rent, or sell the four pillars of 1990s All Japan Pro Wrestling, the Three Musketeers, 1990s New Japan, or Noah's 2000s Junior's Heavyweight Division match. I wasn't watching any of that stuff back then, so I don't know. I really didn't get into New Japan until the early 2010s, like really paying attention to what was going on and, you know, finding certain stars on their roster that I liked and enjoyed watching. I've heard nothing but great stuff about 1990s, like early 90s All Japan. It's apparently some of the best stuff around. And even some of the women's stuff. That wouldn't have been Stardom. Would that have been All Japan also? But that's like Manami Toyota and stuff like that. That whole period as far as Japanese wrestling is incredible. I was not following it at the time, so I just cannot answer the question. I'm sorry. Samoan fan, there's a Chrome extension to bring back... that's about YouTube. Yeah, I don't care. Rodimus Prime, $5 super chat. What the fuck did they do to Elias? Whatever they're doing with this new gimmick, I'm not feeling it. It is trash. The Carlosis. Hurt Business breakup sucks. Bobby with MVP against Roman with Paul Heyman is money. Need a good old faction war. If you want a good old faction war, watch AEW. They got plenty of factions. Shadow Arts. Is Roman's heel run comparable to Triple H in 99 and 2000? No, but it's becoming comparable soon to Triple H 2002 and 2004. Elijah Ricard, 1999 Super Chat. All the Cody hate over the past few days. Absolutely ridiculous. Dude is doing what feels right and gets shit for it. Happy for him. Hope he does well. Love the promo tonight. First time I tuned into Raw in 2 years. Yeah, I don't know what people that you're referring to. I know there's been a lot of hate online. I don't know if you're referring to anybody specific, but yeah, I mean, those people can get bent. You know, Cody is going to end up being one of the most interesting things on WWE television. So I, for one, I'm happy for the guy. You know, look, if he's happy, I'm happy for him. So far, so good. I still have my doubts about where he'll ultimately end up, but you know, at least they stated his mission statement tonight, and it looks like, you know, there might be big things in his future. If they play their cards right, they could have another main eventer on their hands. That's going to be entirely up to the WWE booking. I don't always have a lot of faith. But yeah, no, I have no issue with Cody being in WWE. It's a lot of, you know, AEW morons who, you know, have this tribalist mentality. There's a lot of AEW fans out there who were very happy for Cody, who were sensible, normal human beings. And then you have the morons, and you just don't pay attention to the morons. Boomerang, after 8 months, this was the best idea WWE came up with for Elias. Also, would have much preferred the name Elton Prince over Ezekiel. Yeah, the AEW fanboys acting like Cody betrayed them. You would think that he rang their doorbell or something and threw marinara sauce in their face. And then ran away. You know, like, they take it so personally. Dude, I guarantee you that Cody Rhodes and the people at AEW don't even know who you are. They don't give a shit. Don't take it so personally like you're on Team AEW. Believe me, they don't give a shit. WWE, same thing. You think you're on Team WWE, you got to stick up for WWE like you're their agent. They don't give a shit about you either. They don't even know who you are. You're one random name of many that's out there. They don't care. So, I never understood this whole, you know, again, the tribalism. It's gotten so bad. You would think these people are getting paid. Like I am. Apparently I'm getting paid by WWE, and I'm getting paid by AEW. I'm getting paid by all these companies. I only do commentary for one, but you would think I work for all these companies. I'm still waiting on those paychecks, by the way. You know, if I don't cash those checks within a certain amount of time, they're going to expire. I'm still waiting on them to arrive. The Mount Vernon Kid, the Alpha. How's this sound for Edge's faction? Edge, Priest, Ripley, and the fourth and final member of is the Blackheart Tommaso Ciampa. Maybe. We'd have to get a real good explanation from Ciampa, though. Why, you know, he would decide to link up with this group. Actually, isn't there, aren't they friends? Isn't there, a friendship there between Ciampa and Edge? It might have had something to do with his neck. When he had neck surgery, he might have reached out to Edge. I might be thinking of someone completely different. That could work, actually. If there's a personal relationship there between the two of them, then he could also work, potentially, as a member of the group. But Rhea is the name that I pitched yesterday, and I absolutely believe that she needs to be part of this group. Uffman Entertainment. Elias's younger brother. Who writes this stuff? Bruce? Yes. If he doesn't do the writing himself, then he has people writing for him. Ultimately, they're writing for Vince McMahon. But I agree, even though I don't really care one way or the other, I mean, the fact that this guy was off television for, God, at least 6 months, 8 months. How long has he been off TV for? Been off TV forever. And this is the best they could come up with for him is completely ludicrous. Let's see. Jonathan Corky, $10 super chat. Haven't been able to catch a stream due to work. Love Mania. Did not watch Raw yet. However, Veer Mahan finally coming is there with Hogan slamming Andre or Hogan turning heel and WrestleMania X7. It'll be a moment that many of us remember when we're going to tell our kids. When people have kids, they're going to tell their kids where they were when Veer came. It's one of those moments, I feel. Epsilon Sama. Cody was great. Best part of the show. Also, do you see Elias and Ezekiel forming a tag team and winning the Raw Tag Team Championship? I think they might. I think that the brothers might go on to win the tag team titles if you can get them in the same room at the same time. Absolutely. Well, maybe one of them will wear a mask. Samoan fan. Remember when Dominic felt special? WWE doesn't. I don't remember when Dominic felt special at all. I don't think that ever happened. Dominic felt... No, I mean, when Dominic came in, there was a novelty to having Rey's son in the ring, and he wasn't completely terrible either. So I think he surprised some people. He surprised me. But no, I don't. I don't remember when Dominic felt special. I think you're imagining that. He's never felt special. D'Arlo Renford, $10 super chat. What do you think if Demon Balor joins the Mountain of Omnipotence stable? That better not be the fucking name. But... Moo. You're going to name this faction Moo? Mountain of Omnipotence? Edge and Damian Priest and Rhea Ripley are going to be part of Moo? No. It's a terrible name. Do I see Demon Balor being a part of Moo? And Ciampa then being booked as a way better Dark Carnival WCW stable? No, I don't think... forget the Demon. Forget the Demon. The Demon is dead. We don't need the Demon. I think that AJ and Balor could oppose Edge and Priest. I think Balor is better on that side of the... Either that or forming his own group. Maybe he and AJ can form like a new Bullet Club type thing. Groovy Goose says Mantar. That's the Mantar super chat, by the way. You want to get a moo out of me? You got to drop one of those Mantar super chats. They always scare the shit out of me. Dr. Scorpio, Becky against Bianca, eye for an eye match. I will leave. Martin Thomas with the $9.99. Huge fan. Have you watched much of WCCW or AWA on Peacock? If so, do you have a favorite special or pay-per-view to recommend? Thank you, Martin. I appreciate the kind words. I don't have a specific WCCW or AWA show on Peacock. I mean, I guess, you know, with the AWA, they did that WrestleRock thing. You might want to look up WrestleRock. For WCCW, probably, I mean, the thing I always think of when I think of world class is the turn on the Von Erichs by the Freebirds. And I think that was at Christmas Star Wars in 1982. So look up the Christmas show if it's on there, I think from 82. And the cage match at the end, the big turn. If you've never seen that before, you need to check that out. Suffering in College with the $7... Super chat. I have to imagine they're saving the NXT call-ups and returns for SmackDown, because God knows that brand needs something more than Raw. Nayef Al-Safar, thank you for the $2.99 twice. Samoan fan, MVP mounts Lashley. Sounds like a personal problem. There's a lot of that going on Raw tonight. You know, you got MVP mounting Lashley, you've got Veer coming. You've got Corey and Carmella, you know, swapping spit right there in the middle of the show. I don't know what's going on in this company, but he's so fucking horny. Lexa with the $1.99. Thank you, Lexa. No Alexa Bliss either, by the way. Bliss fan's not going to be happy. Is Bliss fan in the chat? Bliss fan is not going to be very happy. Night after WrestleMania. WrestleMania is over. Still no Alexa Bliss. He's not going to be happy about that. Review King MB, will they explain why McMahon handpicked Cody to face Rollins at Mania? No, they won't. Lexa, $4.99. If WWE waits a while for Drew against Roman, what do you think he does heading into the summer? I would think he feuds with Sammy or Sheamus. No, he's not feuding with either one of them. I talked about Roman earlier as far as who he can feud with. I literally mapped it out earlier. It's a very small subset of people But go back and listen to what I said earlier, because I think those are the only real options you got right now. I think there'll be probably another match with Brock. Drew can come later on. I'd like to see LA Knight pop up, though, from NXT on SmackDown Friday and confront the Bloodline. Miles Woods, The Rock, on Friday. Miles is a comedian. Miles, you should take that act on the road. You really should. You would do well. I think you would make a lot of money with it. Thank you for the super chat. I needed that. It's very late, and I've been very tired from all this work. So thank you for putting a smile on my face. Stephen Chappa could not go a whole WrestleMania season without dropping by. Thank you for the constant stream. Well, you're very welcome. Lexa, who would you have take the Money in the Bank from this group this year? Sami Zayn, Austin Theory, Ricochet, McIntyre, Sheamus, Kevin Owens, Cody, Seth Rollins. Well, of that group, Theory. I'm going to say Theory or... Theory or Rollins. Cody doesn't need it. Cody needs to go the traditional route. Cody doesn't need to be cashing in Money in the Bank on somebody after they lose or something, you know, or after they win. Kenny Williams, I released my stress load twice during Cody's promo. So apparently Kenny is dropping loads here during Monday Night Raw. Good to know. James Auburn. The jokes just keep on coming, don't they? Oh, yeah. This has been a night full of them. This has been a night full of the jokes. Darth Panic. McAfee should wrestle full-time. He is over and very entertaining on the mic. I can see him having a great run with the U.S. title. Pat McAfee does not want to wrestle full-time. Pat McAfee has a $30-plus million deal for his show. He doesn't have the time to be a full-time WWE star on the road. I think he's making enough money doing his other thing and not taking bumps that he doesn't have to wrestle full time. Review King, they might as well change his name to Pin Balor. I like that, Pin Balor. I used to call Bray Wyatt the Eater of Pins when he was losing all of his big matches all the time. Pin Balor, I think we're going to call him that from now on. What do you guys think? I like that, Pin Balor. Turtlehead, my shoot name is Vaughn, so I have love for the name. Also, it's mine and Charlotte's birthday on April 5th. Acknowledge us. Well, everybody wish Turtlehead a very happy birthday in the chat. Again, my issue is not Vaughn. My issue is Von Wagner. So as long as your last name is not Wagner, then we don't have a problem. A-Sedge says, hello from Nova Scotia. WrestleMania should return to Canada. I agree. Some of the greatest fans are in Canada. At least in Canada, you know they'll be loud. I'll bet you if Raw was in Toronto tonight, that place would have been fucking... Even though the show was shit for the most part, that crowd, they would have been on their feet in Toronto. Canada has some of the best crowds. I haven't been to Canada in a long time. Last time I was in Canada was 2008. I was in Montreal. It's beautiful up there. And Brandon Garrell, $4.99 Super Chat. Big fan, Solo Monster. What were your thoughts on TED Talk Taker? My thoughts on TED Talk Taker were on the podcast on Sunday. I am going to be putting that clip up on the YouTube channel tomorrow. It's a brief clip. It's only about 3 or 4 minutes. I loved it. To give you the Cliff Notes version, I thought it was great. It's probably my new favorite Hall of Fame speech. Very weird. He didn't mention Mick Foley, but he seemed to be largely sticking to the people who were there. But I thought it was great being able to hear him, you know, tell stories like a normal person. I'm happy that in the last couple of years he's let his guard down and been more open, because he's got a good memory and he's told a lot of interesting stories. And you know, it's better than him going up there like it's the Slammies in 1997 with him dressed as, you know, with the fucking hat and a little teardrop on his face, accepting his award on behalf of his creatures of the night. You know, at least we got a little more substance from him. So I loved it. I thought it was great. Paul Heyman. Roman Reigns against Roderick Strong. No. What? No. Roderick Strong, you think Roderick Strong is going to make the main roster? Is that what you're telling me, Paul Heyman? You actually think that Roderick Strong has a shot at being on the main roster? Come on. I thought you were the wise man. I thought Paul Heyman was the wise man. I thought you were smarter than that. Noah Santiago. Hoping for LA Knight on SmackDown. Not sure if he should challenge Roman from the start since he has been taking a few L's for quite a bit on NXT. Well, he has been taking a lot of losses on NXT, but anything to get him off NXT. If that's what it takes, then so be it. There's no other place for him to be right now except the main roster. They need someone like him on the main roster. Samoan Fan 101, Roman Reigns against Von Wagner. Boy, thank God some of you guys aren't booking the territory here. We think things are bad now with WWE. I put the booking in some of your hands. Holy shit. I'm going to be begging for Monday Night Raw. Anyway, thank you guys. I still can't get over the idea that he thought that Roderick Strong is going to go to the main roster and potentially challenge Roman Reigns. And you know what? I think that's deserving of the laugh tonight. That one's for you, Paul Heyman. Roderick Strong. Roderick Strong can't even win a match in NXT anymore. I mean, I know LA Knight's been eating losses too, but Roderick Strong is basically an enhancement talent on that brand at this point. Why don't you put Roman Reigns in the ring with fucking Goldberg while you're at it? Jonathan Corky dropping five. So do you think WWE will have a tournament to crown a new world title? Please be Big Gold. Also, if it can't be Big Gold, what would you name it? It's not going to be Big Gold. They like having their big fat logo right there in the middle of the belt. So when the Super Bowl is over and the World Series is over and the NHL playoffs and the Stanley Cup is all finished, they can take their title, they could put custom nameplates on it and custom logo plates. But you got that big-ass WWE logo right in the middle. And they could send it on to the players. And when they have their big parade, there they are with their WWE championship belts. So, yeah, we're not... You see those eagles over my shoulder right there? We ain't ever getting them back. And Big Gold is also dead and buried. Samoan Fan... Oh, as far as your other question, they're not having a tournament right now. They're going to keep the belts unified for a while. And then when it's time to, I guess, ununify them, I have no idea if they're going to do a tournament. I have no idea if they're going to have just a singles match between two people, if they're going to have a battle royal. I mean, I don't know. It's not happening anytime soon, though. It's not happening this month, you know, so it's impossible to say as far as, you know, what they're going to do, as far as how they're going to work it. I don't think it's going to be, you know, a long-term unification, but... they have to at least let it breathe for a few months, at least, I would think, before they separate them out again. Samoan Fan Fire Panda says Roman Reigns against Alex Wright. Ah, yes. Das Wunderkind. Alex Wright. I think he's running if I'm not mistaken, I believe Alex Wright is running his own wrestling school, I think, these days. Believe so. Still a young guy. He's only in his like mid-40s. It's amazing how young he was when he debuted in WCW. G West. What's going on, G West, with the $10 super chat? Thank you, sir. I have not watched WWE in over 10 years. I tried watching this weekend because I miss it, but it seems dull and boring. Is there any reason why I should keep watching? Well, if you think it's dull and boring, then the answer is no. Because honestly, this weekend was probably WWE's best weekend in a very long time. That's as good as it gets. So if you thought that was dull and boring, do yourself a favor and don't watch Raw from tonight. Just just stick to the reviews. If you thought that this weekend was dull and boring, you're probably better off not watching. Because it's honestly, it's not going to get any better than that. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but I can't lie to you. I can't bring myself to lie to you. EJ Slemp, do you know what happened to the Hart House after the family sold it? Do you think it will ever be made into a Hart family museum? I thought there was talk of them wanting to demolish it and build other housing, but I think it has landmark status now. So it's still there. Someone, a fan of the show actually, who bought some of my t-shirts was passing by and he didn't get right up to the house, but I guess there's like a long road. And before you go down that road, there's this big stone and there's like a plaque or a sign on it that says like the Hart family house or Hart mansion or whatever. And he draped the Sound Off t-shirts over and took pictures there. So that was kind of cool. It's still there. I don't know as far as ownership. I have no idea what's going on with the status of it, but it is still there. Yeah, it's a landmark. I think it's a cultural landmark now. All right, let's be the booker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the booker.
I want to show you guys where we are in the tournament brackets because we're almost done here. Here is the men's Be the Booker bracket. We had our own little version of March Madness. Well, the finals are set. These are the two matches that you can vote on right now. Go to the community tab here on the YouTube channel. I put the polls up earlier this afternoon. You can vote in the finals. Voting is now underway. In the finals for the men's and women's Be the Booker. CM Punk against Damian Priest or Shawn Michaels against the British Bulldog. One of those two matches will be crowned by you guys as your favorite of all of the main events that I randomly booked. The top prize will go to the winning match, so you can vote on that. Over on the women's side, you're voting on either Becky Lynch against Lacey Von Erich or Gail Kim against Doudrop. And I will tell you, from looking at the early voting earlier, I am very surprised by what is winning the vote, or at least what was winning the vote as of a few hours ago. Becky Lynch and Lacey Von Erich were almost running away with it. And I kind of think that a lot of you guys may not have seen Lacey Von Erich in the ring. Becky Lynch has had some really good matches, but Becky Lynch is not a miracle worker. Becky Lynch is not Ric Flair in his prime or Shawn Michaels in his prime or anybody like that. So, but I only get, you know, look, all I do is put the poll up. I get one vote, just like all of you do. It's up to you guys. But the voting is open right now. We'll leave it up for a few days and then we'll pick the winners. So I just wanted to make everybody aware of that for those who may not have been aware. All right, now. Now we're back to our random main events that we're going to try to book here each week. Let's see what we come up with, shall we? On the men's side, we get the Gobbledygooker. Well, well, well. The Gobbledygooker is going to be going one-on-one. I told you, never know what you're going to land on here and be the booker. The Gobbledygooker, one-on-one. With the Tribal Chief, the newly unified WWE and Universal Heavyweight Champion, Roman Reigns. I like that, man. I like Roman Reigns against the Gobbledygooker. That's a match that I would pay to see. See, you talk about dull and boring. The one thing you can't say about that, Roman Reigns against the Gobbledygooker would not be dull and boring. I would tell you to watch that match. That's a hell of a main event right there to book. Especially if it's around Thanksgiving time. It's a very dangerous time for the Gobbledygooker. Remember on WWF television back in the 80s, they would have Roman's father, Sika, along with Afa, eating live chickens and tearing chickens apart on Saturday night's main event. Gobbledygooker, he's probably taking a big gulp right now when he realizes who he's up against. He's up against one of those Samoans. All right, let's try the women. see how we do here. We got Cyndi Lauper. Should be in the WWE Hall of Fame, Cyndi Lauper. Without Cyndi Lauper, without Mr. T, that first WrestleMania is a flop. Cyndi Lauper is a very big part of WWE's history. I don't know how good of a wrestler she is. Let's see who Cyndi Lauper is going to be stepping into the ring with here. It'll be Cyndi Lauper going one-on-one with Velvet Sky. That is a fail. So to recap, how did we do tonight? We booked Roman Reigns against the Gobbledygooker, and we booked Cyndi Lauper against Velvet Sky. See, I booked the freak show attractions. I'm like Pride back in Japan all those years ago. Wow. That's pretty awful. Mr. Yule, $20 super chat. Is that Damien? I think that might be Damien. I didn't get a chance to see the show, so I'm just here to support the show. Quick question, just for giggles. Do you think we see Lesnar or Goldberg in the squared circle ever again? Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar, absolutely. Brock Lesnar's not going away. Brock Lesnar still has time on his contract. So Brock Lesnar is going to be around for a while. Goldberg, yes. Because they're going to need people for more Saudi Arabia shows. He'll sign a new contract at some point. We're going to see Goldberg back in the ring. Absolutely. Ricky Edmond, Superstar of the Year in 2012. In 2012? Who was the Superstar of the Year? Who did I pick? I probably picked somebody in my year-end awards on the podcast. I don't remember who it was. In 2012, that probably would have been... maybe CM Punk? Maybe. I might have gone with CM. Probably CM Punk. Dr. Scorpio, the funniest Be the Booker yet. I told you, there are some wild cards in there that we could land on. And they might be ones that you wouldn't expect. I think we picked the Gobbledygooker once before, but definitely not Cyndi Lauper. There's a few other ones in there that might surprise you. We'll see if we ever land on them. Yeah, Punk. I think Punk, and Punk was the champion that entire year because he won the title at Survivor Series in 2011, and he held it until the Royal Rumble in 2013. So he was the champion that year. He started out the year as a babyface, and he ended it as a heel. But he had some great matches with Daniel Bryan. He had the feud with Jericho, which the feud, yeah, the story itself I didn't really care too much for, but they had a much better match, I think, at the pay-per-view after WrestleMania. Extreme Rules than they did at Mania. And then, of course, came the heel turn, and yeah, it was like the tale of two different people, but I think Punk would probably have to be it for 2012. That was the same year that Brock came back. Yes, Hogan did get booed tonight. Both times that Cody mentioned Hogan by name, he got booed. Hogan don't care, though. Hogan is sitting at home with that Gawker money from the lawsuit. It's like $140 million that he actually won from that suit. So Hogan doesn't give a shit about any of you people who are booing him. He wipes his tears with all those dollar bills that he's got now at home. We'll end with Cassio. Cassio Black, thank you for the five. Besides Bron Breakker, what young NXT 2.0 talents do you see being a future champion, if any? Carmelo Hayes. I'm a big fan of Carmelo Hayes in NXT. I'm a Cameron Grimes fan. I like him too. As far as him being like a champion on the main roster, I think it's possible he could be like a mid-card champion. I don't see him being a world champion. But I think that Breakker and Hayes, I think, are the real two standout talents. Of course, you could say Walter, LA Knight, who I don't think is going to be there anymore. The Creed brothers, I think, have a lot of potential as a tag team. And as far as the women are concerned, Raquel's going to get called up. She'll be a women's champion one day. You know, Raquel Gonzalez is going to be a champion. Absolutely. But I think Breaker and Hayes are really the two that stand out to me. They have high hopes for Grayson Waller. I mean, he's shown me some stuff. He's been, you know, pretty impressive. But for me, it's Bron Breakker and Carmelo Hayes. I think those are, for me, it's those two, I think, above anyone else. All right, so look, guys, thank you for hanging out with me on a rare Monday night stream. I usually don't go live after Raw Mondays. I save my Raw thoughts for the end of the week when we do the main podcast. But we went and I figured we would just kind of extend the weekend out one more night. Why not? The Raw after Mania, which ended up being a very lackluster show. But the Cody Rhodes promo, I did like that. We do have a new NXT champion. And we will find out on Friday what the plans are going to be for Roman Reigns and the Bloodline. I already laid it all out as far as who those names could possibly be and what the what my wild card pick would be as far as that goes. So if you missed it, if you came in late, you can go back. This is going to be up on the archive as soon as I go off the air. The show is going to be archived here on YouTube, and I will try to get the audio out to you tomorrow. So be well, stay safe, have yourselves a fantastic week. Thank you for all of the support, and I will see you Wednesday night. We're going to go live again on Wednesday. We get one night. We get one respite on Tuesday, and then we're back live Wednesday night for the Dynamite stream. And I will see you there. You don't even have to watch Dynamite, but you better be here for the live stream. But watch Dynamite anyway. Got Young Bucks against FTR. It's going to be a great match. I'll see you on Wednesday.